The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Let's pray. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, our burdens are heavy. The world is dark. Lord, you know the afflictions of our soul and of this world. And we come because we want to lay these burdens down before you. We want to find the relief and the rest that is only found in our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who will always hold us fast. We pray that you would use this time to bring your light to our darkness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we pick up where we left off, but we left off 2 weeks ago. And we pick up in a passage that's just really pretty hard. And you hear how hard life is for Micah in this time. We talked about last time how there is so much that Micah is mourning in this passage. He's mourning what seems to be the disappearance of the godly, because he looks around and his heart is just longing to have godly people to relate to, godly people in community and in family, and he can't find them. And that's that picture of a man craving fruit, and he comes to the field and it's just all gone, picked over clean. Micah looks at a society longing to find someone like-minded, someone who has a heart for the Lord, and it feels like he's looking in vain. And what does he have instead? He has the society that has just deteriorated. It has gone this sinful way and to the extreme. So he can talk about looking around, and instead of the godliness that he wishes he saw, he finds instead a society of violence, where even a man's brother hunts him with a net. He looks around to the places of power. You would hope that the places of power and influence would be active in combating the sin and the deterioration, the unraveling of society. But as has been shown more than once in Micah, the powerful are a huge part of the problem. And so he can look around and see the rise of ruthlessness, but he can look around and see the rise of corruption too. The courts are perverted. You have the powerful people just looking to make a buck off of their ruling. You have the powerful man who shows up and utters his evil desire, and they make it so. That line is so powerful and understated, thus they weave it together. This wicked plan, they weave it together and none can escape. And what makes it all the worse, if you recall, it's that Micah knows that all this wickedness is leading to God's rightful judgment. Why is that something to mourn over? It's because the judgment's going to come in the form of a very large hammer, Assyria. And Assyria is going to sweep over the countryside, and they're not going to care who are the righteous and the unrighteous. They're going to sweep over Israel like a firestorm, burning everything as they go. And the people of God find no consolation when judgment is coming, if they are going to suffer in the judgment too. Micah looks around and everything seems bad. There is so much for Micah to mourn. But what we said was that Micah doesn't just mourn. This is an example of what the Bible would fall into the biblical category of the lament, We talked about this on Wednesday. We talked about it a little bit on that previous Sunday. And the laments are all throughout the scriptures. We said the Psalms are like a third of them, laments. And God has been showing us, as long as his word has been around, what it looks like to suffer and to mourn and to go through trials, but to do so in faith. Last time, we really talked a lot about the mourning. Now, as we get to complete the passage, thank God we get to move towards the faith. A biblical lament, what really sets it apart is, yes, it starts with sin and sorrow and trials and distress, but a biblical lament makes its way to faith and praise. You see this time and time again in the scriptures. The laments that the Lord has taught us. We are going to move from mourning to faith. We're going to move from darkness to light. Plenty of us know the darkness. I pray today that the Lord is going to give you some light. Why does Micah mourn? One more reason on top of it all is that Micah is looking around and seeing not just the breakdown of institutions, not just that uprise of violence. He is looking around and seeing the breakdown of trust itself. Trust itself is one of the casualties of this deterioration. And at where he goes here from in verses 5 and verses 6 is just the most painful examples of what it looks like, what it feels like when trust is gone. So he can point at the closest of relationships. And one thing that would help this translation, in verse 5, to put no trust, so some translations say neighbor, some say companion. What you could probably say there is put no trust in a friend, followed by have no confidence in a intimate friend, in a best friend, followed by and guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. In other words, from your spouse herself. You see, this is supposed to have a visceral, painful reaction. Wait, not my friends? What about my best friend? Not my best friend? What about my spouse? And Micah is saying, none of them. Trust is so badly deteriorated that you can't trust even your closest people. You can't trust what they're going to tell you. You can't trust them with what you would tell them. You see how bad it was in Micah's day. That it's that bad that the deterioration has come all the way up even to the most intimate of relationships. He talks about the deterioration of the family. And as one commentator said, it's difficult for us to really feel the shock of this section because we are so modern. We are so individualistic. We are so Western. But this is a shocking thing that family should go this route. So to have children dishonoring their parents, that is the opposite of what was supposed to be normal. The absolute opposite. To attack those who are you are meant to honor, that is a shocking break from what it's supposed to be. Commentators use words like an unnatural breakdown. And let's not lose sight because we're jaded by our times. Just because this is common does not mean that it is natural. It's not the way it's meant to be, is what I mean. We see families break down all the time, and so we become jaded against the shock. But take this just in the lens of God's word, of children who are supposed to honor their parents. And it is shocking that they are rising up against them instead. Another commentator says, this is the world turned upside down. Take this all together. Take this burden on your heart for just a moment, what Micah is experiencing. We have the disappearance of the godly, the rise of the ruthless and the corrupt. judgment is coming, and society has so deteriorated that you don't even have the consolation of your nearest and dearest. Whether it's your friends, your spouse, your family members, all turned against you. All unreliable. It's a time worthy of mourning, isn't it? We're not surprised that Micah should despair at such a situation. This is a time of deep darkness. But faith shines in the darkness. You look at verse 7, and this is this glorious moment, the glorious change. Everything is bad, but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. With this crushing burden on his shoulders, the darkness creeping in all around, Micah gives us a masterclass in faith. This is what faith looks like in the darkness. But as for me. You hear the way that Micah feels so alone. He looks around and in many ways he is alone. Not many godly, a whole lot of people wicked. All these things going down the tubes, and Micah feels this spiritual loneliness. The godly have disappeared and it feels like it is just him. Just him all by himself. But as for me, that is where that comes in. That is the context in which it comes in. But as for me, I will still have faith. At the very heart of faith is that it stands in contrast to darkness. It stands in contrast to the darkness. So when the ruthlessness and the corruption are prevailing, when trust with friends and family alike is disintegrating, when the believer feels completely alone, when everything is unraveling, faith still shines. One commentator says so well, Micah doesn't just bemoan, Micah believes. Micah not only laments, Micah looks to Yahweh. That is where it's meant to go. Not merely a soaking in of how bad your life has gotten. Not merely just sitting there marinating in how corrupt this world is. We are meant to go to the Lord. We are meant to look to the Lord. Faith refuses to go along with the darkness. Faith refuses to let the darkness decide how we are supposed to feel about ourselves or our situation or our God. Faith stands on the word of God when the entire world is saying, sit down. Faith is that commitment of trust that says, I don't care how this feels and what you all are saying. I will stand on what the Lord has told me. That is faith. See, on the one hand, Micah's book has to be real clear to us that trials are real. Darkness is real. He's going through it, and he is going through it bad. And just because you have perfect faith even does not mean you are going to escape trials. The Lord has never made us think that. That's the world creeping in when we think, I can't believe this bad thing would happen. The Lord seemed to say it's going to feel like picking up a cross on your way to your execution. No, faith doesn't escape the trials. Micah's really clear with that, really honest with that. But Micah also shows us that trials do not defeat faith. Trials are the darkness, but faith is the light. And darkness can't extinguish light. That's not how it works. You picture that dark room, the power has gone out, it's the middle of the night, you bring out the candle, you light it. What wins? The dark or the light? The light shines, and it dispels the darkness, in fact. Doesn't matter how dark it is, the dark can't stop the light, but the light dispels the darkness. In the dark, faith shines brighter. And faith is made for the darkness. Faith is made for the trials. What does Micah have faith in? What is he trusting in? He says, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Again, just so well put by a commentator, to look and wait for Yahweh means one is both desperate and expectant. What he means by that, desperate because only God can help, but expectant, believing that God will certainly help. It is desperate and it is expectant. Faith looks expectantly to the only one who can really help. So when society is breaking down, when family is being torn apart, when your sin is just ravaging your soul, where will your help come from? Faith knows the answer. Faith knows that my help will come from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Faith knows where help comes from. Faith knows where to look. Who can rescue us? Who can deliver us from our sins? Who can rescue our marriages and our relationships? Who can save the most wicked of societies? Faith knows the answer. It's the God of our salvation. And faith says, and my God will hear me. Not my God might hear me. I hope my God hears me. No. My God will hear me. Micah, with all his darkness, right? Nothing has changed. And yet he can say, I know my God hears me. Micah is not shouting at the empty heavens. Micah is not talking to himself in his prayer closet. Micah prays to a listening and loving God. Micah knows it. The believing child of God knows that they are always heard. Child of God, Christian, your faith is meant for the darkness. Your faith is meant for the darkness. You too, you may feel like it's just you. You may feel like it's you versus the world and you are losing. But Christ hasn't abandoned his church. He has not. He cannot. And even if you've spent the last 6 days just being pummeled by the world, would you please just for a moment enjoy the sweetness that you are in a room with others who want to talk about the word of the Lord? Will you please just relish in the sweetness of seeing there are, in fact, others with you? There are others experiencing this world and its darkness, and yet there are others that the Lord has called, that the Lord has saved. We have better reason than Micah to know that we are heard. We have better reason to know that our prayers are heard. Why is that? We are the blood-bought children of the gospel. We have been adopted into the royal family. Do you think our Father listens to us? Yes. Absolutely. And you wonder, oh, what if I have a bad day with the Father? Oh, good thing. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is sitting at the right hand to intercede for you. You say, I'm feeling broken down. I can't even get the words out to pray. good thing because the Holy Spirit says, no matter how weak your prayers are, I will bear them up to heaven for you. Do we have better reason to believe that we are heard? You better believe we do. Of course we are heard. That is the attitude of the child of God. Not, I hope God has time for me. I hope he hears me. No, of course he hears you, child of God. Certainly he hears you, child of God. The children of God know that they are heard by their Father. Now, we don't get everything we want, do we? Neither do our children, huh? We don't get everything we want, but still we know our God is pleased to hear us when we pray. Our God delights in working in our lives. Our God loves to work all things together for our good and for his glory. Child of God, you are heard. Child of God, your Father hears you. In your trials, don't let go of your faith. In the darkness, cling. Cling to your faith. In the storms, fight for your faith. Hold on to the Lord. Micah's faith, it's meant to be our faith. This is just what faith looks like. We are meant to have this same shining faith, that lone light in a world of darkness that is meant to be you, child of God. You are meant to have that faith, that same desperate faith that says, only God could do something here. That same expectant faith that says, and I'm expecting God to move. That is meant to be your faith. Micah's faith, much like what we talked about with Paul today, Micah's faith is not superstar faith. Micah's faith is just the faith of the children of God. Micah's faith is just normal faith. And normal faith is sufficient for the darkest trial you can go through. We are meant to have the same faith as Micah because we have the same great God as Micah. Right? No one has to say, oh, I'm as good as Micah. You just have to say, I'm going to the same great God. The same God who hears. The same God who acts. That is my God, and so I expect his help. I have confidence in his help. And no one else deserves that trust. Micah looked around, he's checking off all the boxes of everything going bad, and we could do the same thing. We could say society is wicked at worst, like briars and thorns at best. We could look around and say, look at all those people out there, so full of wickedness, so lost, so in the darkness. And so you've got a society that can't support you. People that can't support you. They've got their own sin. They've got their own weaknesses. By the way, you look in the mirror and you realize we've got our own sins. We've got our own weaknesses. So you ask, who's left? Who is left to trust? And Micah's answer, it's God alone. The one who can't be taken from you is the one that you can always trust. When you look at the other options, it's just like Peter said, where else can we go, Lord? You're the only one I can trust. You're the only one I can rely on. You're the only one I can depend on. I want you to consider just a simple prayer for your walk with the Lord. A simple prayer. Lord, help me to trust you like you deserve to be trusted. It's really just a longer version of I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, help me to trust you like you deserve to be trusted. And that's a prayer, by the way, that's meant for the unbeliever too, the non-Christian too. It's a prayer for the person who has never understood the peace of the Lord, who has never understood what it means to trust in the Lord and to know that he hears you, to know that he loves you, to know that he has a plan for you. Oh, my prayer for you. If that's not you, if you're not right with the Lord, if you don't have that confidence that you are his blood-bought child, oh, my prayer for you is that you would take that prayer and storm heaven with it. Plead and plead and plead until you know you are heard. Don't give up, because he is the only one who's got anything to offer you here. The only one who has any help to offer you here. The only one who has any salvation to offer you here. And so you may knock and knock and knock at that door wondering why it's not opening. But see, here's the thing. Where else are you going to go? Why would you give up? What is the alternative? There is no alternative. No good one, at least. Plead and plead with heaven until you know you are his. Do it for days and weeks and years if you have to. Plead with the Lord, because anything less than Jesus Christ as your Savior is just a slow, sad walk to destruction. Lord, help me to trust you like you deserve to be trusted. And it's the prayer of the believer too, isn't it? This is the prayer that the child of God needs too. This is the prayer of the child of God who struggles to keep trusting the Lord. This is the child of God where it feels like faith is the exception and not the rule in our lives. This is for the child of God who struggles because they feel like they can never commit like they know they should. They can never be faithful like they know they should be. They can never be obedient like they know they should be. Father, help me to trust you like you deserve to be trusted. Child of God, turn from your unbelief. Turn back to your Father. Go to the one who is worth trusting one more time. Maybe it's been a million times that you've had to do this again. Praise God, come back one more time. Come back one more time. No one else deserves your faith. No one else deserves your trust. No one else deserves your dependence. None of them. The God of your salvation and him alone deserves your faith. So trust him again today. I've no doubt some of you are in those dark times right now. And if you're not, you're about to be, right? May you be able to say, to confess to your Father, just like Micah did so many years before. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. And my God will hear me. Let's pray. Our Father, we bring to you our burdens. We bring to you our struggles. We bring to you our unbelief. Lord, we confess our sin, and we want to lay down before you all of our weakness. Would you bear us up once more? Lord, give us Micah's conviction that there is no help anywhere but in you. And would you give us that same conviction of Micah that certainly our Father hears? Lord, would you spark our faith anew? Would you strengthen that flame within us? Give us the faith that can shine in this darkness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.